Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
It is definitely a grind at times. And it doesn't matter what day part you work, what hours you're awake or asleep. That's just life. Sometimes life is a grind, and when you work different hours, or maybe you have swing shifts, there's a lot of people who do that. I did that for years where I wasn't on one set day part or shift. I was moving around a lot. It can be challenging. I know for now nearly 10 years of doing overnights and late nights that sleep is at a premium a lot of the time. So yes, it does keep us going that we can connect with you on our social media, that many of you are supportive and that you listen religiously. And when you can't listen live, you grab the podcast, which is available every weekday morning right after the show is done. Now, I understand that we had a bit of a mess up with the podcast earlier this week where there was a repeat with hour two. So instead of hour three, we got hour two. Jay, I just want to confirm because I had another post on our Facebook page on Wednesday that indicated that it happened again. Do you think that was going back to Tuesday's podcast?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Which that has been amended.
It has been fixed, but it didn't happen again, right?
No.
Okay. I didn't have to the chance to check yesterday's podcast, Wednesday morning's podcast, because it was one heck of a Wednesday, that's for sure. Wednesday afternoon, an eye appointment that went 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours for an eye exam? I wasn't prepared for that. Poor Penny, she wasn't dying. I don't want to speak that. But she was anxious when I got home. Mom, where's my dinner? And so, threw the rest of my afternoon and evening into flux. I did not mow the lawn. We'll see if I get to it Thursday. Late summer, early fall type of grass, but it's also preparation for the winter. For those of you who live north of the Mason-Dixon line and you recognize you got to cut, you got to fertilize, you got to plant grass seed, all that jazz. I may ask Bob to help. He keeps offering to help with yard work and keeps saying like, oh, it'll be fun for us to do together. Okay, your idea of fun and my idea of fun may not quite be the same thing, but since Bob will be arriving on a jet plane into the New York City area coming up on Thursday evening, now, if we time it right, it'll be halftime of Thursday Night Football. But want to hear something really funny, though? It is actually about the time that the primetime football game hits the half, because he's supposed to get off the plane at 10 o'clock in the evening, New York time. And the game will kick off at 7:15 Green Bay time, but it'll be 8:15 Eastern time. Usually that's about when they're at the half, is an hour and 45 minutes in. So if we time it right, I can turn off the radio during halftime.
Bob already is getting the NFL schedule. He's working around it. He's trying.
Not on purpose. He keeps apologizing, and I keep saying, babe, it doesn't matter. We planned this ahead of time. Really neat, though. We're actually going to get to spend almost a week together. It'll be the longest stretch we've ever been together. So here's the deal. If we make it through the next week, then I know it's okay to go ahead and do the green light and get married. I suppose it's not too late, is it?
Are the invitations out yet?
Well, here's the fun part. The invitations are arriving all over the United States. Did I tell you that invitations are going to 14 different states?
Wow.
14 different states. And that's mostly my family, because all of his family and friends are in the Lone Star State, the great state of Texas. It's my family and friends that are coming from all over the country. Nothing international, but yes, I've sent invitations everywhere from Florida to Arizona to Wisconsin to Oklahoma to Ohio, of course, because my mom's whole side of the family is Northeast Ohio. There's one going out to California. I'm trying to think if that would be the farthest. There's some up in Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New Jersey. They're everywhere. 14 different states. So, and I don't know if all of those people will make it because it is the weekend before Christmas weekend, which means it's a challenge for travel. I certainly understand that. But yeah, the invitations are being received because I keep getting text messages from family and friends with either a photo of the envelope sitting on their counter or, oh, I love your invitation. So that's kind of fun. Mailed them on Friday morning and now they're being received everywhere. So in other words, it is too late. That's what you're saying?
A little bit.
I also tell Bob, and it's a joke. He knows it's a joke, but since we have a road trip from New Jersey to Texas for the wedding, right? So he's flying up to help me drive Penny and the dress and everything else back to Texas. One of the reasons we have to get married on a Sunday is because we won't get back to Texas until a Friday evening. So it'd be kind of hard to turn around and get married the next day.
Not ideal.
Anyway, all of this is covered in the Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle video. Part one that's up on our YouTube channel, the logistics, because people want to know why are you getting married in December on an NFL Sunday? Well, it's because essentially it's a destination wedding for me, my own. We are going to drive what is going to be 1,700 miles over 2 days. We're going to haul rear end. I've said to him multiple times, yes, I'm joking, but just a reminder, if we survive that road trip, then boom, we're good to go. Green light, baby.
Smooth sailing after that.
Smooth sailing. Nothing will be as challenging as a 1,700-mile road trip in which we go 18 hours without stopping. Other than for gas or bathroom, but we're going to go 18 hours straight through. And then poor Penny, she's going to be a disaster.
Oh, Penny.
Oh, I feel terrible, but we've got to get there. So I hope that she knows that it's actually me loving my dog so much that I'm driving to Texas for her, but also that I'm taking her with me because I don't want to leave her for 2 weeks.
Wasn't she told at one point that she wasn't going to have to do that ride?
Thanks, Jay. Thanks a lot. Yes, in fact, I did promise her she would never have to do the ride to Texas again. Why are you being a jerk? That's so mean. Anyway, I promised her that at Christmas of 21. We came back from that Texas road trip at Christmas of 21, and I promised Penny she would never have to do a road trip like that again. But I didn't know I'd be getting married in Texas.
It's out of love, like you said. You want her to be there.
Yeah.
She wouldn't want to miss it.
I can't go 2 weeks without seeing her. I can't leave her for 2 weeks. I can't do that. No. So, okay. Well, now I feel terrible, but thank you, Jay. So, yes, we are driving Penny back to Texas. And if we survive that with Penny, if Penny isn't growling at Bob by the end of that road trip, then we'll know.
That would be a bad sign.
Could you imagine? Penny changed her mind. She's decided, never mind, I don't want this dude. We don't want this guy in our family.
Oh, no.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You certainly can find the link to the video. Part one of Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle. We laugh a lot. We have fun. It's on YouTube, but the link is on both Twitter and Facebook. And part two will be up sometime in the next 2 hours. Many of you are asking already. I'll just tell you, I actually like part two better than I like part one. Part two is my favorite. A few times I went, "Aw," and then I laughed because there's some... Jay, did I surprise you with part two? There were multiple times where you said, "Whoa, yeah. I didn't see that coming."
I was flabbergasted a few different times there throughout that video. Caught me off guard.
Little bit evil I am. So check it out on YouTube or find the link on Twitter or Facebook. Again, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, easy to find. This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Cup got it.
back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it! Yes. Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We will begin in the AFC where Robert Saleh is on the defensive. You think Zach Wilson's on the defensive. Robert Saleh is on the defensive because Zach Wilson is under fire. Now, I'm not saying as an NFL quarterback that you don't deserve whatever comes your way. And by deserve, I just mean it's the highest profile position in all of sports. Quarterbacks get way too much of the credit, but they also get heaped far too much of the blame when things don't go well. And Zach Wilson right now is the whipping boy for everything that's wrong with the New York Jets, even though this was never the position that the Jets wanted to put him in. And I don't know why people are so angry at Robert Saleh. What would you like him to do? Go up there and blast him? Go up there and rip him a new one? Or how about, let's go with Tim Boyle, who's taken almost no starts with the first team. That sounds like a good idea. Or maybe Trevor Siemian, who we just brought into the building a day ago. It's Zach Wilson right now because they don't have any other options. This is the best option, like it or not. And I just feel terrible for Zach. Again, I get it. He's an NFL quarterback. This is the life of an NFL QB. But it sucks for this young guy who is trying. He's trying, and they really don't have a better option. At least Saleh is willing to admit that there's room for improvement.
We all acknowledge he has to play better. We all acknowledge that. He acknowledges that. The teammates acknowledge it. He acknowledges it himself.
All right. I was duped by the clickbait on Tuesday that said the Jets signed a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I assumed it was Joe Flacco, who has history with Saleh and the Jets. Instead, it was Trevor Siemian.
Obviously, got a lot of games under his belt. He's a quick learner, quick study from my understanding. And, so just giving him and the ability to come out of the practice squad and help us out was the best decision for us.
I didn't have a lot of expectations. Yeah, no promises were given or anything like that. These guys had two quarterbacks. They needed a third quarterback. I had some good conversations, and here I am. So I'm excited to get to work.
I like how nonchalant Trevor is about the whole thing. They needed three quarterbacks. I'm the third quarterback. All right, let's go. He's very mathematical and matter-of-fact about the whole thing. Says that there were no promises given, none whatsoever, that he's just there to, right now, keep the seat warm on the practice squad.
I didn't have a lot of expectations. Yeah, no promises were given or anything like that. These guys had two quarterbacks. They needed a third quarterback. I had some good conversations, and here I am, so I'm excited to get to work.
I want you to hear it again. Just take it all in stride, as if there's absolutely no reading between the lines of them bringing in Trevor Siemian as the third quarterback, who has far more experience than anybody else on the roster, but is now the practice squad dude. Okay, back to Robert Saleh. You may have heard by now, I'm not sure how you could have missed it, that Hall of Famer Joe Namath was very critical of Zach Wilson. In fact, even called his play disgusting after the Patriots' loss. So Saleh then had to address Joe Namath criticizing the QB.
Obviously, Joe is an icon, a Hall of Famer, and a well-respected individual in this organization. Doors always open for him to walk in, and my office is always open for him. And we'll agree to disagree with his comments, but he is entitled to those comments.
Do you wonder how much of a challenge it is for Robert Saleh and others to keep their self-control? Constantly being bombarded with questions. And I'm impressed with how calm he is, because he's not calm on the football field. He's very fiery. He's got a large personality, but man, he has dialed it down. He's monotone. He's just going back with the same answers for the most part. I can imagine, though, he's seething at times about having to answer these questions over and over. And I'm sure the Jets don't love that Joe Namath put them in this unenviable position. But when Namath speaks about the Jets, people listen because he's the only one who's won a Super Bowl as a quarterback for the New York Jets. Trevor Siemian, maybe as a veteran, can you kind of take some of the pressure off Zach or help him deal with the pressure?
Zach gets it. He knows. I think there's no pressure like the pressure you put on yourself. So Zach's wired the right way, it seems. You know, still getting to know him, but I don't think you think about that. I think Zach is doing a good job. For me, I was not going to try to be Peyton Manning, right? I was going to try to be Trevor Siemian.
And that's where he won the Super Bowl ring. He was a backup for Peyton Manning the year that they played Super Bowl 50. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, staying in the AFC East for a sec. Have you heard or maybe seen the reaction to a moment between the Cowboys and the Cowboys, between the Patriots and the Jets? It's actually the Cowboys, the pass play next. But there was a fracas late in the game where Mac Jones was kind of slammed to the ground. And when he got up, he and Sauce Gardner were jawing back and forth. And there's video out there that appears to indicate that Mac popped Sauce in the little Jets, that he took a crotch shot. And so Mac has been asked about it over and over again because now he's being labeled dirty.
Really focused on the Cowboys, as you can see, just trying to prepare for a good defense. And that's my focus, trying to control the controllables. And I'm looking forward to just building this week. You know,
okay,
we got practice today, got practice tomorrow and Friday. So primetime game in a great stadium with a great football culture. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to.
He sounds like a mini Belichick, doesn't he? Or a mini Saban, because he played for Nick Saban before he played for Belichick. There was a little extracurricular activity between Mac and Sauce Gardner.
It's not a euphemism, Henry. It's what it sounds like.
Linemen were stepping in, and actually Gardner shoved Mac Jones to the ground. The officials had to step in, but there are some who are calling for Mac to be suspended because of this extracurricular activity. And that's not the case. There will be no suspension or punishment for Mac Jones.
As long as there's food.
As long as there's food. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Joe Burrow nursing the calf injury. This is a big deal, of course, for the Bengals, who are coming off their first win. Finally, they get a victory. They don't go 0-3. But Joe admitted that he wasn't 100%, that there were ways that he was compensating for this calf muscle strain, and so he's trying not to put any undue stress on it in practice.
On a long week, I need as much practice as I can get, but you know, on a short week, I think prioritizing getting healthy and getting your body right is more important.
Yeah, so not so worried about whether or not he gets reps this week. Instead, the Bengals, who are the only team in the AFC North that don't have a winning record, or doesn't have a winning record, excuse me, they take on the Tennessee Titans this week. So they're on the road in Nashville, which is why he's talking about the short week, of course, playing on... Trying to think of the Rams game was Monday Night Football. It was the later one, so that makes it a shorter week as well. Guess what? He reached out to Aaron Rodgers.
You're not going
to
have my number.
We connected last week. Kind of wanted to... He's dealt with calf issues his whole career, and you know, wanted to use him as a resource for that, and you know, give his thoughts what he might have done, and you know, I think, you know, take into account what he has to say. He's been through it, done that, and he was great about it. So I'm gonna continue to use that as a resource. He's a great guy, and so whenever you have a guy like that that's willing to help, you're gonna use it.
You don't have my number. You're not going to have my number. How do you think Joe Burrow got his number? Wow. Do you think the agents, my people, will talk to your people and we can connect?
You think they've ever talked before that? As in, like, hung out or anything? I can't see
hung out? No, but I'm sure on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a game. Huh. Interesting. I mean, it is an elite club, you know, those quarterbacks that make over $50 million. Although it's becoming a larger and larger club, you got to make more room.
I don't think he got his number from Zach Wilson.
Jordan Love, maybe. Hey, yo, do you mind passing me Aaron's number? Josh Allen. Anybody got Aaron's number? Maybe there's a $50 million quarterback group chat.
Quarterback group chat.
If you make more than $50 million in a season, you're in the group chat. And so he put it out there. Hey, anybody got have Aaron's number?
I would love to know that actually existed.
Oh, that's funny. And now Burrow's the king of that club because he's the most recent one to get the contract extension. All right, one more, and we'll pot down the music for this just so that you can hear this in its entirety. Patrick Mahomes, no, it's not Taylor Swift. He was caught on NFL films demonstrating the proper way to run out of the tunnel and get onto the field before an NFL game. Now, you got to use your imagination because we don't have the visual, but it's kind of fun to hear him talk about how it is to come out of the tunnel and make an entrance.
I came out of the tunnel, I was like, you're not yelling today. You just feel kind of, yeah.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I watch every other quarterback run out the tunnel, and they just run out like this. And then I get up, come out, and I'm like, yeah, let's go! And then as I yell, I get myself more hyped.
But he sounds like a spaz. Wait, and people call me a spaz all the time. Can we just hear the end of that, like the last 10 seconds again?
And then I get up, come out, and I'm like, let's go! And then as I yell, I get myself more hyped.
It makes zero sense. You know who it reminds me of? Who's the Muppet drummer? That's
Animal.
Animal. That's what it reminds me of. You've got to find me some Animal on our next segment. That's hysterical.
Let's go!
That is absolutely going to the head of the class for the next Hall of Fame induction. There's no. I love the fact that he couldn't care less about making a fool of himself. It's so great. He's so great.
And as I yell, I get myself more hyped.
Oh, good stuff. So I guess he's not going with the Tom Brady chosen mode of entrance, which is the, you know, the word we can't say. Let's bleeping go.
Ah!
Does he sound intimidating?
I'm not blocking that.
So good. Oh, he's a hoot. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for hanging with us. Hope you survived your hump day. We're heading downhill toward the weekend, another football weekend, as a matter of fact. That's your AFC edition of QB News with some Patrick Mahomes shoehorned in for good measure. Do you know the Ryder Cup starts in mere hours? And Brooks Koepka, I wonder if he'll have any friends there. Do you think anybody will talk to him? He is the lone live golfer to be on the American Ryder Cup team. I wonder if he's going to be an outcast. Anyone's going to cheer for him? They're going to watch his matches or just kind of leave him to do his own thing? Wow. Watch out. Wouldn't it be so great if he and Rory were matched up against each other match play. Oh, stop. Please give me that. We have to have that. Be so good.
Hit live.
We know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah!
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There's numerous people that I think Zach should have called out here, and we didn't get that. And I understand. I get it, but... You know, we're nothing different. We're still competing. We're still working super hard to be the best we possibly can be. Brooks is obviously going to kill it for Team USA next week and excited for the team. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely does sting a little bit. You know, you say what you want. We're still golfers. And I personally think that given the way I played this week, I could have definitely racked up some points for Team USA.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Bryson DeChambeau. And just as a side note, remember when he wouldn't be caught dead saying a positive word about Brooks Koepka? And now they're both on the LIV Tour. And as Bryson is asked about the Ryder Cup coming off his second LIV win of the year, he actually points to Brooks and says, Brooks is going to kill it. He's going to crush it. But Brooks is the only LIV golfer that is on the Ryder Cup roster for Team USA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brooks is pretty matter of fact and really isn't about the foo-foo or the drama or anything else like that. He was asked when he did his press conference prior to the Ryder Cup on Wednesday if he feels like LIV guys, the LIV Tour, and there's a bunch of high-profile golfers on the LIV Tour, did they get a fair chance?
I don't make the decisions. It doesn't... Everybody had an opportunity to get there. I mean, I had the same opportunity as every other LIV player, and I'm here. So, play better. It's always the answer.
Zing! In other words, I didn't have any special favors to get here. I had to work my rear end off all the way through to get to the point where Zach Johnson and Team USA couldn't afford to leave me off the roster. You had the same chance. So Bryson and Brooks, not sharing the same love. Mutual. The feelings are not mutual. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Brooks, as he's talking about making the team as a LIV player, is fielding questions that are clearly leading questions meant to try to lead him down a path where the controversy would be stirred up. But he's just not interested in that. He just wants to play golf. And obviously the year that he had and his ability to rise to the occasion when it comes to majors or huge tournaments, that's the thing about Brooks Koepka. When he is healthy, which he is now, you cannot count him out on the game's biggest stages. That's one of the reasons why Zach Johnson couldn't afford to leave him off.
And I knew it would be tougher. But I think after Augusta, it was kind of, I had my eyes on it. Realized, I think after Augusta, I went to maybe 20th, somewhere around there on the points list. And then from there, it was just motivation to get him.
What
get
about
the
June,
team.
Though? Like last June, when you joined?
I had a lot of other things going on in my mind. I don't think Ryder Cup was one of them at that particular moment. But I think the closer this got, the more it was definitely in the front of my mind.
So, yeah, he was working toward making the team this year. But it's not like when he joined LIV, this was one of his major concerns. And I think that Brooks is being authentic there. He doesn't live that far in the future. But also remember, when he joined the LIV Tour, he was still battling the various injuries. The wrist injury was a big one, but he's also had knee injury, I think, too. And so he was just struggling to get healthy and felt like going to the LIV Tour would take some of the pressure off having to be at these PGA events essentially from Monday, if you're doing practice rounds, through Tuesday. Wednesdays are pro-ams, and then all the way through what is a four-round tournament if you make the cut, right? You're there for 4 days. And a lot of the guys who jumped to Liv made the point that the schedule's just too rigorous. It demanded too much. It didn't give them a proper work-life balance, but also it was physically taxing and would lead to injuries because of overuse or not enough downtime. And that's one of the things that both Brooks and Bryson have indicated why they jumped to Liv, was because the schedule offered them some time away from golf and maybe took some of the physical and mental stress and the all-consuming nature of the PGA Tour. It took some of that off their plates. But once you get to this year, well, then you start to think about it because you're in a Ryder Cup year. Now, this is a unique question. Brooks was asked by a reporter. I would never have come up with this. This is some deep drilling. If the Ryder Cup came down to one match on the course to decide it, if you asked all 24 guys here, meaning the guys on both teams, how many would say they want the ball and really mean it? So this is kind of interesting. It's just such a very unique situation and scenario. But Brooks, you got to answer the questions as they come.
Very few. False confidence, I think. I think other than the Ryder Cup, I think the most pressure you could feel is in a major. I don't know guys should believe in themselves, but I mean, right. Everybody else has got to be thinking that they don't.
It's very psychological, but we know that, anybody who golfs, if you play golf, you recognize that more than half the battle is mental, and it's, you do have a caddy out there, but it's you. For the most part, these golfers are conditioned that it's you and you alone. You're the one who ultimately makes the decision about the club, about the distance, about how you're going to gauge the shot, how you're going to line it up, which way you're going to craft and carve the shot. But then also, you're the one to blame when things don't go right. There is no one else to blame. It's a very solitary sport in that respect. Even though you do have a caddy and he's considered your partner, he's not the one who's swinging the club. He's a little bit like a coach with a professional athlete. I say that a lot about tennis and golf, is that it's a lonely road, ultimately. And what Brooks is saying is that, yeah, you actually put these guys under a lie detector test, and very few of them would really want to be in a position where everything rests on you. And yet he relishes that because of the fact that it's the same platform, the same pressure that you feel in a major. And I just said to you, he rises to the occasion. That's one of the great qualities of Brooks Koepka, is that he rises to the occasion. He performs his best under pressure. But by far, my favorite part of Brooks' press conference is, hey, you want to be a LIV golfer on the Ryder Cup team? Play better.
Play better. It's always the answer.
He's right. He's absolutely right. I say that too, and this came up with Miami and Denver over the weekend. People ask me a lot of times, maybe more in college than the pros, how do you feel about a team running up the score? My answer is always the same. If you don't want them to score 70 points on you in this situation, play better. But if you don't want to be embarrassed, then don't suck. If you don't want to give up 70 points to another team, well, then figure out a way to stop them.
Credence to that.
Thank you, Coach. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. I'm looking forward to this Ryder Cup. Not because of the spiciness, but because it's a cool scenario, or cool scene, I should say, in Italy. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I am going to be rooting for Brooks. I'm a big fan of Brooks. And I love the fact that of all the LIV guys, he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and you're not going to tell him differently. And they can't leave him off because he's that damn good. I hope he wins the whole thing. I really do. I hope he and Rory are matched up on the final day of match play with the Ryder Cup on the line, and Brooks delivers what would be the ultimate humiliating blow for Rory. All right, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube channel. Thanks so much for checking out our new video, Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle. Part two will go up sometime before the show is done. That is our vow to you. And we generally do deliver on our promises. Not always, but generally.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Holds on to the ball, finds his name off the screen. He goes left, crossover, steps back, fades away, three, buries it! Franchise record! 64 for Damian Lillard. He is crushing every scoring record in franchise history. 121-105.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
With my very sincere apologies to Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, Giannis and Dame may right now be the best 1-2 punch in the NBA. Now, you know I love Steph and Dre. I do think those two have an otherworldly connection, but Giannis is a better player than Dre. I mean, Draymond is a dirt dog, and he's a champion. Giannis is a better player. Now, do I think Steph or Dame is better? That's a tough call. I would probably go Steph now. But Dame is one of the best scorers. He can create a shot from anywhere on the planet and somehow make it look like a work of art. I mean, Steph could do the same thing. Dame is a little bit bigger. I love his toughness. I love how fierce he is. That's a really tough call. That's maybe more opinion. I just am a huge fan of Steph, and obviously he's got extra rings and yada, yada, yada. But Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's delicious. I'm looking forward to that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I do hate that Drew Holiday is not there anymore, but maybe wasn't going to stay there anyway. He was exactly what the Bucks needed in order to get over the hump, right? So for them to lose him, I feel like they take a step back in terms of defense, but also take a step back in terms of just leadership. And I'm not saying Dame isn't a leader, but he's never been in this situation before. He's been in Portland, where he's always been the big fish in a small pond. This is different. He's not the big fish. Giannis is the big fish. Clearly, the Milwaukee Bucks intended to make this move in part to let Giannis know they're serious about pursuing another title. Remember, there have been rumblings that Giannis would be okay leaving Milwaukee if he had to, that if he finishes his career somewhere else, all right, well, if that's how it has to go, that's how it has to go. I think it's pretty obvious that if you're a superstar and you look around the NBA, all you got to do is make noise and you essentially get what you want. Now, James Harden has done it too many times, so now he's crying wolf, and he's run into a guy in Daryl Morey who knows him all too well, so it may not work the second time. But for the most part, think about it. Guys who ask for trades, who make enough noise, make life miserable for their teammates and coaches and the organizations, they end up getting what they want. It's kind of sucky, but how many times has it happened? Just recently, Anthony Davis wanted to get out of New Orleans and go to Los Angeles. Well, it took a couple months, but he got exactly what he wanted. KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn, then KD to Arizona, or to Phoenix, then Kyrie to, well, it's actually Kyrie first to Dallas, then KD to the Suns. James Harden ends up in Philadelphia. I mean, it's just, it's gross how it happens. I hate it. Dame wanted out of Portland. The Blazers weren't willing to let him go until they got everything they wanted. They feel like they did, but at the expense of Drew Holiday, who won't stay in Portland either. So we'll see where he ends up, but I am rooting for him. Big fan of his leadership, his character, certainly the way that he is as a husband and a father, and you can see that type of character on the basketball court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Apparently, Milwaukee only jumped into the fray about a week ago. Remember, Dame wanted to go to Miami. It's kind of like when Kawhi Leonard requested that the Spurs trade him. He was disgruntled. He would not reconcile with Greg Popovich. This is funny. Maybe the only thing that Greg Popovich has ever failed at, right? He could not get Kawhi Leonard to reconcile and to say he would stay in San Antonio, and he wanted to go to L.A. And instead, the Spurs spitefully shipped him to Toronto. That was the last team I heard that was in the running for Dame was the Raptors. Instead, it's the Bucks, who kind of swooped in under cover of night and also get the help of the Suns because they needed a third team to make this deal happen. Jimmy Butler, meanwhile, in Miami, is watching from afar thinking something's fishy. Wait a minute. We were supposed to have Dame. We were the ones who were going to give whatever we needed to give to get Damian Lillard as my running mate. So he takes to Instagram after the news of this trade breaks, and he's none too happy.
Yo, NBA, man. Y'all need to look into the Bucks for tampering. Y'all do. I'm just going to put that out there. Y'all didn't hear it from me, but I heard it through somebody. Y'all look at them for tampering.
Okay, I got to hear it again because the end is a little bit muddied.
Yo, NBA, man. Y'all need to look into the Bucks for tampering. Y'all do. I'm just going to put that out there. Y'all didn't hear it from me, but I heard it through somebody. Y'all look at them for tampering.
I heard it from somebody other than Antetokounmpo, is that what he said?
No, I think he said, I heard it from somebody, y'all look at them for tampering. That's what he said.
Okay, so he repeats the tampering part.
Right.
Yeah, so he's saying, it didn't come from me. I love how he says, you didn't hear it from me, even though he's on Instagram.
Y'all didn't hear it from me, but I heard it through somebody. Y'all look at them for tampering.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, look at them for tampering, which is funny to me because I would feel like Miami would be in you don't want the NBA to be investigating teams for tampering because it kind of feels like the Heat may have been walking that fine line too. Jimmy Butler not happy about the fact that Dame did not end up in Miami, and I'm wondering if Dame is unhappy. Now, he says he's excited for a new start. We saw that on Twitter. He also did indicate that at some point he will be addressing this whole process in his own words. This was his post on Twitter. Be about 12:30 Central time. It's 12:30 Pacific time. I'm not actually sure he was in Portland, but the casuals won't be addressed. But the Trailblazers fans and city of Portland that I love truly will be, and they will be addressed truthfully. Stay tuned. Now, by casuals, he may be referring to fans who are not real fans, fickle fans, fans that turned on him when he asked for a trade. He may be referring to just casual people in general. So you're not involved, you're the media, blah, 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 whatever. But he finishes up with, excited for my next chapter, at Bucks. So that was Dame. His agent put a post out there indicating that that the Heat had tried to make it work. I want to read it to you. Want to make sure that I don't misspeak and get him wrong. Dame agent Miami Heat. Okay. This is his wording. I was paraphrasing, but this is his wording. They did everything they could to acquire Dame. Yeah, so I would think if you're the Miami Heat, you probably don't want the NBA looking too closely into tampering. I know that Portland wasn't willing to give up what Miami was asking. And you can't fault the Blazers for that. They've got to do what's best for their franchise. But Aaron Goodwin, who is Lillard's agent, this comes through the Miami Herald. They did everything they could to acquire Dame. It takes two to get a deal done. I appreciate all that Pat, Andy, and Mickey did to try and make this happen. Tampering? What? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.